Praise the Lord. Truly is a privilege to minister to the body of Christ. I'm not just talking to people. I'm ministering to the body of Christ. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Schumacher, for the opportunity to bring forth the word. I know that this service has been ordained by God. A couple weeks ago, I had the privilege of tag team preaching with my favorite preacher, my pastor. And I don't just say that. The word of the Lord tells us that God gives us a pastor after our own heart. God knows who we need, and he knows what instruction we need. Amen. And so that night we talked about soul winning and bringing people to the house of God and furthering the kingdom of God, and there was an awesome response at the altar call, and we were encouraged. And I told you that in a few weeks or just a little ways down the road that we were going to be looking for a greater commitment. Say commitment. Tonight's the night. Amen. When God decided to take the nation of Israel out of Egypt, tonight's the night. I don't think it was convenient for all of them to pack up and get ready to go, but I have to believe that they were excited to get out of there. And I just want to tell you that as you commit to furthering the kingdom of God, there are going to be some awesome things that are going to happen in your life. And that's scripture. And one day you'll look back and say, I'm so glad that I made that commitment. I'm so glad that I'm a part of following the instruction of God. Amen. Pastor Schumacher, would you pray? Amen. Before you're seated, it's already different. Different is okay. If you would go to the book of Isaiah, the 12th chapter. At the top of the page of my Bible here, it says a hymn of praise. And while you're getting to that 12th chapter, the 10th verse of the 11th chapter says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign or a signal of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. There was going to be help coming to the people. There was going to be a reconciliation of people to God. And we can grasp these scriptures just like the ones that they were intended for, because really, the Word of God was intended for you and I, Gentiles, who were let in on this powerful truth. That 12th chapter, it says, and in the day, and in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Every one of us can grasp that scripture. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Every one of us can grasp that scripture. Verse 3, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And now if you'll just turn to the book of John, the 4th chapter. Verse 1 says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He went back. And he must needs go through Samaria. It was of a necessity that he passed there. He had to go back for a reason. Verse 5 says, then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Jesus is requesting, give me to drink from a Samaritan woman. Amen. I would like to speak to you tonight about a simple message. I'm not going to preach long. A simple message entitled, bring one to the well so they can go and tell. There's something about a new convert, somebody who's excited about Jesus that can't wait to tell people what happened in their lives. What I want you to notice is that the Samaritan woman came to the well with a vessel. Apply that to our walk with God, that it should be a mandate for us to bring a vessel to the well. This place is a well of living water. And if we bring vessels into this place, God will always be faithful to do his part. Bring one to the well so they can go and tell. If you will give the Lord a hand clap of praise before you are seated. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So we know the rest of the story, that later on in that verse of portion of scripture, I believe it's the 28th verse, it says that the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto men. Her old agenda wasn't important anymore. She left the pot at the well because she had a better story to tell. And she went and told men about this one called Jesus. And then when they came and met her for themselves, they said, we didn't believe on him because of you. We believed on him because we have seen him for ourselves. They had a Jesus experience. And each and every one of us in this place, when we were taught the word of God, had a Jesus experience. When he was on the road to Emmaus with the disciples and he was expounding unto them the scriptures in the things concerning himself, the scripture goes on to say that they were talking to one another and they said, did our hearts not burn within us when he opened unto us the scriptures. There's something about the written word of God that does something to the heart of mankind that changes him. That's why we're here. Amen. So in that book of Isaiah, that the opening text that we read in the 12th chapter, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength, my song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Do you realize that each and every one of us in this place is a well of salvation for this dry and dying world? We are a well of living water, and every time we come into somebody's life, it's like the same scripture that's coming alive when Jesus, in the fourth book of John, the Bible says, "Now Jacob's well was there." Every time you and I walk into the life of somebody that doesn't have truth, Jacob's well is there, and that living water that's inside of us, there is something that should just want that to flow from us to them. "Now Jacob's well was there." But notice, and I think this is important, that this little tidbit of scripture in there, Jesus was wearied because of his journey. He was tired. He was exhausted. He went back. He made an effort. And this soul winning and this bringing people to the kingdom is not always convenient. It's tiring. It's a journey, but don't be weary in well-doing. It brings new life to your soul. It brings excitement and revival to your life. "And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord," verse 4 of the 12th chapter of Isaiah, "call upon his name, declare his doing among people, make mention that his name is excellent. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." Now listen, he's talking to this is the church, this is the people that's alive. And verse 6 says, "Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Just like they cried out at the triumphal entry when Jesus came in, so too did you and I when Jesus came into our lives and filled us with his Spirit for the first time. There was a triumphal entry, if you will, that took place in our lives that time, and we couldn't help but raise our hands and cry out because there was something inside us that changed. And cry out, thou inhabitants of Jerusalem, great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of us. Not only is he in the midst of us in this place, but he is in the midst of us. And we should cry out to this world. Tell them about the excellent things that Jesus has done in our lives. Declare it. It's a mandate according to Scripture that we are to produce fruit for the kingdom. Now, please, I am not, this is not a rebuke message, this is a love message. Really it is. About 3 weeks ago, I was standing in front of my bathroom mirror doing my hair, and I was having this conversation in my mind about services Wednesday nights, and they seem kind of empty, and the Lord spoke to me. He challenged me and said, "So what are you going to do about it?" You see, this isn't my church. This is God's church. The man of God, the shepherd of God, leads us. But sometimes we hear things in this place that aren't always comfortable to hear. But they are for our well-being and our good. About a month ago, I had a little scare with that C word, that cancer word. But I trusted God. But watch. For months and months and months and months, my wife, the helpmeet, the woman, the bride, was telling me, you have to go in and have that taken care of. It was in the, you need, yeah. I'll go. Finally, I went. And then the report I got back was not so good. But prayer, and I believe the favor of God in my life. The report came back that said it was not cancer, but had the potential to turn the cancer had it not been treated. And so what the Lord taught me in that whole thing was this: she's my helpmeet or my bride or the woman, and the church is the woman, the bride of Christ. And I was getting instruction, but I didn't want to listen. And what the report said, I have it in my Bible, that there was the potential for it to turn to cancer. And listen to me tonight. That if we sit here week after week after week and we hear the instruction from God who tells us time after time, go out and reach them, reach the lost, teach the lost, bring them in. God tells us that. And we hear it in the Word of God. We have got to respond, because what I learned in that whole thing was the wife, my helpmeet, was instructing me. The bride was instructing me to take care of some things, and I just wanted to let it go. And inside of me, there was something that had the potential to turn to cancer and take my life. And every one of us in this place, mankind, we have something inside us that has the potential to turn to cancer and take us out spiritually if we don't listen to the instruction. Amen? And now please, I'm not sitting here saying that if we don't do what Brother Bear says that we're supposed to do in this message, that God's going to kill us. You know better than that. But what I'm saying is there's a potential inside each and every one of us to go astray if we don't listen to the instruction that comes forth from this place week after week after week. And God has asked us as a body to do some things for Him. And He just wants to open the windows of heaven and pour out upon us. Not that we do things for stuff, but God has so much for His people, and He's so pleased with them. As Moses rehearsed the commands of God that he was going to, when the leadership was going to go to Joshua, he set before him this day a curse and a blessing. A curse if you didn't follow the instruction and go after it with all your heart, but if you did, a blessing. And there were so many things involved with that as far as God ushered into their lives because of their obedience. Listen, I'm telling you, God has some great things in store for each and every one of you. Great things. There are some awesome things that are happening right now in this place, and there's some really awesome things that are about to happen. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant. But now also, because He dwells in us, we not only have that resurrection power, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, but most important for His purpose, it's that power that Acts 1 and 8 proclaims into our lives to be witnesses unto Him. Therefore, cry out, shout unto this world for Him. We are that inhabitant of Zion. Why? Because the Holy One of Israel really does dwell inside us. Now Jacob's well was there. The Bible says in that portion of Scripture that it was a well that was handed down from Jacob to his son. And can I tell you that we're still handing the well down to the next generation? We're still doing that. You know, it was said from this pulpit this morning about how we instill things into our children and into the next generation. And this morning, Brother Portman was doing his announcement for junior camp, and I don't know about you, but I felt the Lord in that. And the first thought I had, I leaned over to my wife and I said, how old is Alex, my grandson? What I didn't realize is my daughter was in the back of the church with Alex, and he leaned to her and said, can I go to camp? Papa and Grandma have been taking him to family camp for years. And there's something in him. The blood is flowing in him. And he has the things of God that are flowing through his veins because we handed it down. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a grandchild or a family bloodline, but a Christ-based bloodline, a new convert bloodline. I have grandkids in here too that aren't from the family, but they're from the family. You'll figure it out. So Jacob's well was there. Throughout Scripture, lives were redirected and changed at a well. Moses, when he feared for his life in Exodus 2 and 15, the Bible says he sat at a well. And I have to believe he was wearied with his journey too, running for his life. He was near the same place, I believe, in Exodus 3 and 1 when he was keeping the flock at the backside of the desert. He didn't lead a flock out where there wasn't any water. There was a place. He was keeping a flock. Didn't say he was destroying a flock. He was keeping it, and there was a water source there. He was close to that well, and it was in that area that he had a God experience. He had a burning bush experience. And after that experience with God, his life was changed. And soon he would become a man that would lead a big group of people for the Almighty God. Through the wilderness, according to the instruction of God. Something that happened at a well. Jacob, also, after he wrestled with an angel, or he slept and made his vow in Bethel, I believe, and slept on the rock. The Bible says after that he went on, I believe it's the 29th chapter of the book of Genesis, that he continued his journey and he came to a field where there was a well. And it would be later that he met his wife there and his life was changed. Changed at a well. And also in the book of John, there's scripture after scripture about wells and how the stone was moved and they watered the flock and then the stone was moved back. It was at the well in the fourth chapter of the book of John when the Samaritan's life, the woman's life, was changed forever. That word woman really means, translated, wife. It was you and I that came to the well of living water when God filled us with his Spirit and our life was changed and now we became a part of the bride or the wife of God, if you will. And we heard it this morning. What a timely place for Mother's Day. This is Mother's Day. As the world knows it. And the church should get an even deeper view as far as Mother's Day. We should all be thinking about children and bearing children for the Lord. Many lives changed at a well. Notice Jesus in the 7th chapter of the book of John, he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, sometimes we read that scripture and we go right to the thought about, oh yeah, see right here, he's talking about the Holy Ghost, but it wasn't poured out yet because Jesus was not yet glorified. And yes, that's what it says. And it also says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. But watch this. Here's a mandate to the church. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said. How are they going to know? Or would somebody have to teach them? He just hid that in there. The experience is going to happen, but they have to believe on him as the scripture hath said. And if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. See, we're the body of Christ. And as they come unto us, we are his body now, his hands and his legs, his mouth and his eyes, if you will, and we need to give them to drink. And teach them how to believe according to as the scripture hath said. You see, where there's teaching of truth, there's always water involved. Living water. Actually, Moses did some teaching of his own on salvation. In Exodus, the 14th chapter, 13th verse, the Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them no more again forever. There was a little salvation teaching. He was showing them that, you know what? There's going to be deliverance for you here today, and it's going to be through the water. And when you go through there after he makes a way for your escape, the water is going to close in, and all those Egyptians are for you and I in this day and time we live in. All that garbage that followed us around and that we were a part of in this world is going to be washed away in the waters of baptism, and no more would we have to see it, and no more would he see it, because they're as far as the east is from the west. It was a type and a shadow of a plan of salvation that was coming down the road. Truth, salvation, there's water involved. The same message is being preached today. The same message is being preached today. The gospel message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And for us, it's repentance, baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The same message that was typed and shadowed in the Old Testament, we are teaching today to lead a people to God. The side of Jesus was pierced on the cross, and the Bible records that first came blood and then came water. Because of that precious and powerful blood, there was another opening that would take place in the side of a rock, and that was the grave, when the great stone would be moved away and it would be opened, and the Savior of this world would flow out, and all mankind could benefit for eternity because of that. And as we are made anew, we too have been given the power to overcome the grave, and we must flow this message to a dry and dead and dying world. I want you to see something interesting here as far as the scripture I read at the beginning, at the well. Jesus said, give me to drink. When he was on Calvary, he said, I thirst. In these two portions of Scripture, I want you to see something else. There was a vessel in each place. At the well, when the Samaritan woman went into the city to tell men, the Bible said that she left her vessel at the well. At Calvary, there was another vessel. It sat close to Jesus. This one was full of vinegar. One was full, one was empty. One at the well, one at the cross. But because of Calvary, not only was death overcome, but so too was all the bitterness and the guile that this world puts into us and that we were actually born with as a sinful creature. But because Jesus took of that vessel, of that vinegar, because he took of that, bitterness was done away with, and now there could be a vessel full of him or his goodness. A vessel that would now be waiting and willing to pour out to this dry and thirsty world, that their vessel could be full of his goodness. You see, we know according to Scripture that there's no good thing in us. But once the Spirit of God is indwelling in this vessel, now we have the ability to overcome this vileness, if you will. And the love of God is imparted inside us, and we have the mandate and the calling to share that goodness with other people in this world, just like they did to you and I. At the cross, that vessel is pronounced skios. It's a vessel, an implement or equipment or apparatus. That's what it means literally or figuratively. But specially, this means, now watch this, a wife as contributing to the usefulness of the husband. Wow. That's us. We are the vessel that because of Calvary, he has chosen to use us as a vessel for him, usefulness for the husband, so that we can pour out. If you remember the scripture of David who longed for a drink, and when he got that drink, he didn't feel worthy to partake of it because there were three mighty men who put their lives on the line to bring him that drink. And what did he do? He poured it out. We too have received this same living water, and there was a life that was given for that water, that living water that now is applied into our lives. And who would we be to just want to drink it up for ourselves? But if we truly do have the spirit of David, we should want to do the same thing with that water that life was given for, and that's to pour it out to this world. The big picture. The big picture in the scripture about the Samaritan woman at the well is this, and it's such a simple lesson, is she came to the well, her life was changed, and she went and told others. She came to the well, her life was changed, and she went and told others. Pretty simplistic. But sometimes, because of the weariness of the journey, the go and tell others part can become difficult in our lives. It's not always convenient to take, when I teach a Bible study, the 12-week Bible study, usually mine lasts 13 or 14 because we have one special fellowship and I divide the tabernacle plan into two lessons. But the way I look at it is I spend 3 months with people, hands-on, and make them a part of my life. And it's not always convenient. But it's who I am. There's something inside of me that when my Bible study's almost over, I'm already getting the next one lined up. It's just something that God put inside me. And maybe it's because of where he brought me from. He had to reach through the slime to get me. And I'm thankful for that. And I want somebody to have the same opportunity and the same life-changing experience I had. So David, when he longed for that drink, he couldn't receive it because it was obtained by a life-threatening gesture on the part of three men. So he poured it out. Don't be weary in well-doing. I know that's a play on words, but remember that, please. You know what? Do you remember Jesus with the Samaritan woman when they were at the well? She says, "Give me to drink of this water." And then he says something profound, "Bring me your husband." Wow. From getting a drink of water to actually he led her to repentance. She didn't lie. She said, "I have not a husband." Jesus said, "Thou hast well said." Now I know it's not the same well. But if you will just get a picture in your mind about not being weary in well-doing. When you tell somebody about Jesus, "Thou hast well said." You are talking about the living water. Pass it on. Pass it on. Pass it on. Three elements that I want you to think about were in these portions of Scripture was the well and the vessels and weariness. Wells were the source of life. Vessels are what held the water. But weariness sometimes can stop the process. This is interesting. There were three valiant men who broke through the lines to get that water for David to drink. Three elements, three soldiers. One was named Adino. This word means slender, or that is like a spear. He was a Lenite, which means sharp or strong. The word of the Lord is sharper than any two-edged sword. The second one's name was Eleazar, which means God is helper. He was the son of Dodo, which equals loving. Now, Dodo was a Ahohite, which means fraternity or brotherhood. And what we have to remember then is with the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, and with God as our helper, and to use it with the love of God, we too can bring people to this brotherhood or this walk of God, if you will, because it's him that helps us And the third one's name was Shema, which means astonishment or to make amazed. He was the son of Agi, which derives from flame. He was a Hararite, which means a mountaineer. It derives from a word which means a hill or a mountain. And you hear me tonight because of the hill of Calvary and the shedding of his blood, the fire of God could be ushered into our lives. And with his love and with his word, we have everything we need to bring this living water into the life of somebody and see them too to be a part of the kingdom of God. So God asked me, what are you going to do about it? It's not my worry about who's not here. And that, listen, people, there are things that come up in people's lives. But God told me this. I got a program for them. He went back to Samaria for the woman. He went back for the one that was missing. He's got a program for that. But he asked me, what are you going to do to bring the new ones in? There's a portion of scripture in Joshua where the Bible says that after they crossed over the Jordan, no more did they receive manna from heaven. But that now they were to, and here's what I pictured. Manna was white. Every morning it was out there. It was on the grass like the dew, and it was white. And it was like the fields were white unto the harvest. And they went and harvested it, and it enriched their lives and sustained them. But after they went to the promised land, the Bible said that now they were to survive off the fruit of the land that God showed them. And so too with you and I. The fields are white unto the harvest, and we are supposed to bear fruit for God. And I want you to know that there is a sustaining and a fulfillment and a rich enrichment that comes into your lives as you harvest the fruit for the Almighty God. He has brought us almost, if you will, to the promised land. We haven't arrived yet, but we can see it and we know what it is. We know what heaven is or could be like. We know according to the scripture of God. And one day our feet can leave this earth. But there's so many out there that don't know. And it's up to us to see to it that they believe on him as the scriptures have said. You see, when the nation of Israel moved out of Egypt and they went through the Red Sea, it was a little while later that they came to Elim. And the Bible says that what was there in Elim? There was 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. That's 70. And it was because of the water, the sustaining wells, that the trees could even survive in that place. And do you remember in the New Testament when Jesus was touching the eyes of the blind and he said, what do you see now? And he said, I see men as trees walking. Listen, maybe you and I, not maybe, you and I are one of those living wells that is supposed to bring the life-giving water into somebody's life that they can grow and become something for the kingdom of God. And we are still handing this well down from generation to generation. Moses put the tree in the water at Marah to make the bitter water sweet so they could drink again. And at Calvary, it was the one who gave the life-sustaining water of Jacob's well that was on the tree And now there would be a life-giving, sweet water for you and I to partake of. But it's up to you and I to provide that same drink. And you know, it might be bitter at first. It's a life change. It's a shock to the system, because it's a transformation from one life to the next, from the carnal to the spiritual. My last point was, at the well, when Jesus was wearied with his journey, the Bible says it was the sixth hour of the day. And you read it, because the Bible also says that at Calvary, when the Lord Jesus Christ was having a conversation with the two thieves on the cross, it was the sixth hour of the day. One reviled him and mocked him while he was hanging there on the cross. But there was one that realized that this man was something special. And he didn't belong on that cross. He was taking something from mankind that he didn't deserve. And he had the right attitude. And he spoke to Jesus. And Jesus told him, while he was hanging on that cross, that this day, would you join me in paradise? And I'm not going to get involved of all the arguing and strife that I've heard about that. And see, you don't have to be baptized in Jesus' name because the thief on the cross. That's not what I'm talking about. It was a whole different dispensation anyway, and Jesus had not yet died. But here's what I know about that. What I know about that is at the sixth hour of the day, divinity spoke the condemnation and said, I have the power and I have the ability to change a situation in your life, no matter how impossible it seems. So that one day you can live with me forever. And you and I have that same ability, church. The same ability you and I have. Because one day, at a point in time in our life, we were condemned to die because of the sinful nature and the things that we had done. But the Almighty God washed it away and gave us a new start and set us on the right path. And we didn't deserve it. And there's millions out there, but for you and I in this place, there's thousands out there that don't deserve it just like we didn't. But for the price that Jesus paid, we should allow for them to hear and to drink from the same cup that he allowed for us to drink from. I know it's not convenient, but you watch, because it wasn't so convenient for Jesus when he hung on the cross, but yet he was concerned for that man to the point where he was going to give the ability for his life to be changed, and he would not be condemned to the lake of fire or to hell or the produce of it. At Calvary, the mother cried and Jesus bled. And so too should it be today, that the church cries out because of the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring people into the kingdom of God. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said to the woman, "Woman, behold thy son." And she pointed to the disciple who Jesus loved, and that was John. But we know he loved them all. But he pointed to John and he said, "Woman, behold thy son." And then he said, "Son, behold thy mother." Hey, listen. He's speaking to the mother. He's speaking to Mary and he's saying, "You know what? I know you're losing a son, but don't let that stop you. Take on another one. Bring another one in. Mother somebody else." And you and I also, you know what? Maybe we've won somebody to the Lord. Maybe we've, but don't let that stop you. Bring another one in. Mother somebody else. It wasn't so convenient, I don't believe, but he was still directing. Because at the well, he said, "Give me to drink." And he was speaking to the Samaritan woman who was changed and became a new creature for him. And at the cross, he said, "I thirst." Do you know what he's thirsting for? Hey, church, let's give him a drink. Because if we give even unto the least of these a drink of water, it's like we're giving it unto Jesus. And I wonder how excited he gets when he sees us in the workplace or in the marketplace or somewhere telling somebody about him. I'm wondering if he doesn't get excited about the water that's flowing from us to them. Because he, on Calvary, said, "I thirst." What was he thirsting for? He knew, because we've heard the scripture over and over, for the things that were set before him, he endured the cross. Because he knew that one day there would be a church, there would be a bride that would pour out this living water and give a drink to somebody who so desperately needs it. So the scripture says, and I'm closing, and here comes the commitment. The scripture says in Deuteronomy 10 and 22, I called the pastor one morning, it was about a week ago, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks at the most, weeping because very early in the morning, God spoke to me as I was reading his word through this scripture. And he was speaking to me about the church and about reminding me about the, what are you going to do about it? Deuteronomy 10 and 22 says this, "Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, 70 people. Went down into Egypt." Who can tell me when God took the nation of Israel out of there, how many did he take out? Do we know a number? I know I read in the scripture it says there were 600,000 men or horsemen, and that didn't include women. But it also said that there was a mixed multitude that went up with them. Is it evangelistic to say 1.5 million? I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but I know that he took a lot more out than he sent there. And you see, there's people here, but I want you to know that the Almighty God wants to take a lot more out of here than are seated here right now. And weeks ago, I said it was a goal to have 7 teaching points. And I am going to call those people up front. And I want you to come and stand up here. Brother Portman has allowed to open his house to be a teaching point. You would just take that, brother, and stand over there. Sister Painter has allowed to open. Now listen, this does not have to stop at these teaching points, but this is a starting journey. Pastor Schumacher has agreed to open his household as a teaching point. I'm looking at faces in here right now, and I know that you're willing to open your place for a teaching point. Brother Steve Miller and his wife Carla have agreed to open their place up as a teaching point. Brother Roland Bear and his wife Ruth, I don't know if they're here tonight. Oh, there she is. Have agreed to open up their place as a teaching point. The Lapatinas have agreed to open up their home as a teaching point. Who am I forgetting? See, I have part-timers. Brother Michael and Sister Nibia Smith have agreed to open their house up as a teaching point. This is not just something that I thought up. This is something that I believe with all my heart that God has placed in here. And it's a starting point for us. You see, for years we used to have home Bible study teachers every month, and we imparted information and charts, and I'm saying to anybody in here, if you need charts or you need teaching manuals or whatever you need, the Word of Flame bookstore has a website. If you can't get something, please come and see me and I will help put information in your hands to teach the Word of God. It's there. We had meetings about teaching, and we had classes on computer and PowerPoints and everything. And you know what? God provided the manna for years and years and years. But it's time now to go into the new land and partake of the fruit that God has provided for us. And he has told us in this place over and over and over and over, not only to reach them and to teach them, but he has many people for us in this city. So here's the commitment. 7 teaching points up here. And what I would like, and we can get out of here early tonight if we make up our minds. I would like for 10 people to commit to each teaching point. 7 times 10 is 70. And if God could take 70 people out of Egypt, send them there as 70 and take them out as evangelistically, we'll say 1.5 million, what could he do in Racine? I challenge you, what could he do in Racine with 70 people that would be committed? Now, the 10 people that I'm asking to commit to these teaching points is to do this, to simply find people to bring to that place for a home Bible study. And if all 10 can't find them, I got to believe out of 10 people that you can find at least 2 or 3 people. But I'm not even going to say that because that's far below what God wants to do. So, and I'm pleased, don't just, these people were not selected because, you know, it's the pastor and it's the pastor's son-in-law and that's not what this is about. This is about prayer and this is about seeking and and I have some other names in this book too. And I know that those people will step forth as God deals with them and the teaching points will expand. But I want in this place right now for you people to commit to these teaching points. And when you've decided, I want you to come up here and I want you to stand by them. And then they have cards. And on those cards, I would like for you to write the names of the people that commit to you. And then I will just simply encourage and follow up and see how we're doing. And we are going to be allowed to see God doing great things in this city as new souls come to this place, to this well, to get a drink of that living water that you and I partook of. I know this is, I remember one of the first services I was in with an evangelist and he's calling on people and he's asking them stuff and I'm thinking, oh dear God, don't ask me nothing. And you're kind of trying to hide in the pew because it's one of those guys that's getting people involved. And I know this is uncomfortable for you. But listen, it wasn't so convenient for Jesus. Not only for the beating he took, but all the other things that he went through. It wasn't convenient. He was wearied with his journey. And I know that you and I can become wearied with our journey. But just remember this, please. When we are weak, then he is strong.
And we're blessed by the Spirit of God. There's a special anointing in this church, and we are privileged people to feel what we feel. There's an anointing on the instruments, and there's anointing on the singers. There's anointing on the pulpit. There's anointing on people who are used in the gifts of the Spirit. And it's likened unto water. In the end times, he'll pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. But there was a special anointing oil in the Bible called the Yitzhar oil. And it was the purest of all of the anointing oils. And the greatest anointing is not in this church. The greatest anointing is outside the walls of this church. Because the Yitzhar oil was used for witnessing the Word of God. And I've felt the power and the presence of God in this place for many, many years, but I can honestly say that I've never felt a greater anointing than when I'm sitting in my living room teaching a home Bible study.
Amen.
Many times I can't even speak because of the greatest anointing is the anointing that's used for witnessing of all of the goodness of God. So would you stand with me tonight? Does anybody have a relative that needs to be saved? Does anybody have a coworker that needs to be saved? We're not asking you to make this great commitment, but we're asking you, would you come to a preaching point? Would you say, I'm going to do something about trying to get somebody to the well? We have 7 wells here. And if you're willing to do that, I'd like you to, as our musicians come, I'd like you to come forward and make a commitment. God, I'm going to do whatever I can in order to tell somebody about the goodness of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Can you clap your hands unto God? I want to thank Brother Bear for bringing forth the word. And, you know, the reason we built this building is just so we could have more room to dance. We just need more people in here. And I know it becomes uncomfortable when you're asked to do more. But I'll tell you what, the greatest joy you'll ever experience is to bring somebody to the well. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?